Shiva Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Karantaraj Shiva Bhagavatam ki, Girira Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gopremana. Gopi, Gopi, you have to be quiet if you stay. If you make noise, you have to go. Okay? You have to be quiet. Gopi. Okay. Everyone just sit down. Sit. So welcome back. Rasa. Good. Mahatmaji. Siddharaja Prabhu. Shampriya. Really well. Everyone is back. Very good. Now I'm happy. Okay. So, tonight, we'll begin discussing chapter 14 of the final section of the seventh canto. Chapter 11 begins the Varnashram section. So there are five chapters at the end of the seventh canto which deal with the Varnashram Dharma institution. Yudhishthira Maharaj is being instructed by Narada. So we hear in the first chapter about the general duties of all human beings, or the qualities that all human beings must have. Then we hear a small description about the different varnas. And then we hear about the duty of women. And then we hear about those who are outside of the varnashram institution, varnasankara. Then in the 12th chapter, we hear about the occupational duties of brahmacharis. And the remainder of the chapter is instructions for the vanaprasthas. In chapter 13, the chapter is instructions for the sannyasis. Now tonight, we'll begin chapter 14. So chapter 14 and chapter 15 are instructions for the grihasthas. So this is grihastha dharma, the last two chapters. So important instructions for all grihasthas in Vedic culture. So we'll be finishing this section, and in October your closed book exam will take place. As we get closer, we'll understand which date it will be. We're right about the middle of October, we'll have the closed book exam. Your open book exams are due next Monday night, which is the 30th of September. And your oral presentation should be due soon as well. Okay, so tonight we'll go from verses 1 to 10 in chapter 14, discussing the Grihastha Dharma. Grihastha Dharma ki?
Jai.
Grihastha's coming on time ki? Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Narad Muni, O my Lord, O great sage, kindly explain how we, who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life, may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas.
In the previous chapters, the great sage Narada has explained how a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, and a sannyasi should act. He first explained the duties of a brahmachari, vanaprastha, and a sannyasi because these three ashramas, or statuses of life, are extremely important for fulfillment of the goals of life. One should note that in the brahmachari ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, and sannyasa ashrama, there is no scope for sex life, whereas sex is allowed in grihastha life under regulation. Narada Muni therefore first described brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyasa because he wanted to express that sex is not at all necessary. Although one who absolutely requires it is allowed to enter grihastha life or a household life, which is also regulated by the Shastras and Guru. Yudhishthira Maharaja could understand all this. Therefore, as a grihastha, he presented himself as a Guha Mudaji, one who is completely ignorant of the goal of life. A person who remains a householder in family life is certainly ignorant of life's goal. He is not very much advanced in the intelligence, as soon as possible, one should give up his so-called comfortable life at home and prepare to undergo austerity or tapasya. Suppose Ibhyam Putraka, according to the instructions given by Rishabhdev to his sons, we should not create a so-called comfortable situation, but must prepare to undergo austerity. This is how a human being should actually live to fulfill life's ultimate goal.
So any points in the first?
Suppose Ibhyam Putraka, Rishabhdev is telling how we have to ordain our life, how we should follow the instruction of Shastra and try to have even sex and devotion.
Any other points?
Austerity is a must if you want to go to this future world.
Any other points?
Sex life is a great hindrance in the spiritual process. And if we can give up, it will be easy to reach our goal.
Anything else?
Actually, Mr. Maharaj is a very advanced person. He presents himself to his spiritual master, the Brahma Muru Ji. He's ignorant of the goal of life.
We are seeing a lot of Naga cultures in India. They are not devotees, but they press their sex life. They tie a lot of rocks and things, and they demonstrate all things. But they are not a devotee. You know, they are like they worship Lord Shiva and things. You know. So the sex life is the invention. That might be more important than any other.
Anything else?
One should open the difficult matters related to the actual technology. One can approach a spiritual teacher, a guru, and ask questions related to managing the good of the properly. It's not something that can be done. It's not important as well.
Yeah, but you need to approach someone. We discussed this in the sannyas chapter. It doesn't mean you necessarily approach a guru if he's a sannyasi. You need grihastha gurus.
Vishnu Maharaj is very humble, although he has shared of Lord Krishna as one of the problems. But still, he is presenting himself as grihastha. Humility is most important, as I'm saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unless we are humble, there is no way we can go to the future world.
Anything else?
It reminds me of the Srinivas Acharya, who was really upset after seeing Ramchandra getting married. And he said, why are you
decorated
Shukla and all that issue for me? Last question.
Any other points?
According to modern science, it's considered the next morning period is the thirst after the water. So if one can resist that, and if so, is to resist anything else?
Yeah, Prabhupada said that Gandhi drove the British out of India by his celibacy.
If the spiritual master is a sannyasi and has been a grahastha before,
Yeah, you can ask, but we emphasize in the sannyasi classes, don't, if the sannyasi is aloof from these kind of topics, then you should not pressure, you should find a grihasa guru. But if the sannyasi is comfortable, then... If they're following, then they're equal. If they're both following, then they're the same.
I think in the lifetime of Shankaracharya, also there is that incident where he had intense losses in Mandala Mishra, and then he won in all the arguments, but then finally Mandala Mishra says that let's debate over the family life, and Shankaracharya says he does not know about it. He says, well, you have to argue or let the win over, then Shankaracharya requests for 21 days time to be given. And at the time when he asked the disciples to go around and find out any dead body, and they find that the king of that kingdom died, and they were, then he says, okay, he goes along the disciples to a cave, and then he requests his disciples to safeguard his body. He exits from his body and enters into king's body to understand what Grihastha's life is. And then he learns what it is, and then comes back to after his mother's mishra, and then he takes it.
Any other points? Okay. So, sex life must be regulated. That is the difference between brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, and grihastha ashram. The other three ashrams, sex life is abstained from. There is no sex life. In grihastha ashram, there is a regulated sex life, or a license is given for sex life. So it is, we have the word illicit, so we say illicit sex. That means unlicensed. Whereas in grihastha ashram, sex life is given, but it must be regulated. I think Krishna says within the Bhagavad Gita, sex life which is regulated, that is not contrary to religious principles. Krishna says, I am that sex life. Because that sex life purifies the consciousness, whereas other sex life, it degrades the consciousness. So, at the age of 50, according to the Varnashram system, you should give up sex life completely. Even, I have read, it says at the age of 40, one should give up sex life. But definitely at the age of 50, then that is it. Then one must voluntarily accept tapasya. One must voluntarily renounce attachment to the opposite sex. Like that. And then one can progress properly in the spiritual life. So grihastha ashram is a preparation. You can't just go to vanaprastha ashram or sannyasa ashram automatically. You have to gradually purify your consciousness. And by gradually purifying your consciousness, then you can reach vanaprastha ashram or sannyasa ashram. So as a grihastha, we have to be cultivating renunciation within our consciousness year after year after year. And a grihastha should feel that he's becoming more renounced as time passes by. Not that he will suddenly just make a leap into vanaprastha ashram or sannyasa ashram. It must naturally happen because he is evolving. So it is important that grihasthas become renounced. And that is the purpose of grihastha ashram. It's an ashram, it's an institution, and it leads one to renunciation. If one cannot go straight from brahmachari to sannyas, then one has to go through the gradual process of evolution through the ashrams. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, we've said this many times, that in Kali Yuga, grihastha ashram is a very good position for a Vaishnava. And it's very safe in Kali Yuga because the age is so contaminated. very difficult to give up association with the opposite sex. Very hard for men to not be in association with women, and women not to be in association of men. Very difficult. So therefore in Kali Yuga, because of the nature of the age, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the Grihastha Ashram is a very good position for the Vaishnavas, because then they can advance peacefully. Some very exceptional devotees, they can remain Naishtika, they can completely abstain from relationships with the opposite sex. But generally, because of the contaminated nature of the age, most people have to go through Grihastha life. But still, Grihastha life, it should be practiced in a renounced fashion. It is not simply a license for sense gratification. Some sense gratification is there, but it is limited. Just like when Prabhupada first came to America, he was explaining to the new devotees in ISKCON, 1966-67, very beginning of our movement, he said that for a Grihastha, sex life is allowed once a month to procreate children. And then one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, then you might as well just give it up altogether. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is the idea. So that is the purpose. So if you follow Grihastha Ashram properly, then your material desires will become cleansed in due course of time. So Grihasthas have to become strict. It's an ashram. It's a license for sense gratification, but it doesn't mean it's unlimited scope for sense gratification. Any points?
So, when after the initiation, should we see it separately?
It's not mandatory. It's not that you have to do it. It's personal choice.
But what is safe?
What is safe? Yeah. Safe is not indulging in illicit sex.
In India, we have seen our mothers and fathers, they always sleep separate. They never sleep together. They never heard of it. They never seen it in their life. Normally, they never heard of it.
Everyone has to sleep.
But then, because of now, we have the initiation. We must make a
I already gave the answer. The answer is given. The answer is personal choice. Because there are some senior Grihasthas in our community, like Aniruddha Prabhu and Chintaruddha Prabhu, Mataji, they don't sleep in the same, they sleep different room, different bed.
That's what you want to hear.
But Bhakta Prabhu and Bhakti Prabhu, they emphasize Grihasthas should sleep in the same bed. They emphasize that because they say it's very important that the Grihasthas feel connected. So that is their example, that is their advice, right? They abstain from sex life, but they have that system, and other Grihasthas have a different system. So the answer is it is personal choice. You have to see what works for you. It is not that every Grihastha will do the same thing. Some it will work for them, some it will work the other way. Vedic, it's mentioned that Krishna sleeps in the same bed as his wife, so that is Vedic. But why would Krishna do it? But why would Krishna do it? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if I act improperly, the whole world will follow the example. So why did Krishna do that? So it cannot be wrong. It is personal choice. That is the answer. Thank you. Any other points? Once again, it's personal choice, like that, because I can't sleep when there's something playing. So it's up to you. It's personal choice.
You said that do what Krishna says, but don't follow what he does. Follow what Rama does. Once he has statements also.
So yeah, we should follow Krishna and Dwarka. That's the point. You don't follow Krishna and Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is different. But in Dwarka we should follow Krishna. Krishna was the same in Dwarka, like as Ramachandra. Similar. Okay, so any other points?
Now that you had shown us that the sex should be allowed every month just for producing the children.
Yes.
And at the same time you said the sex should be allowed until the age of 50.
Yes.
So it is... They have sex at the age of 50 to produce the children. Who is going to look after the children? They will go to Rana Krishna. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. So I can't answer the question. How do I answer a question that doesn't make any sense? You have to work it out.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but I can...
To me, it also does not make any sense. But thank you for your question. You have to reconcile the truth. Any other? Yeah.
Last birth, we would have been a male group, and previous birth, we would have been a female.
Why does everyone keep making statements which can't be authorized?
So last birth, if you are
International Society for Speculation.
Male, this birth, why should you get attracted to the last birth yourself, your own self? The last birth, you are in a male body. The previous birth, you would have been in a woman body. Then now you are, why should you get attracted to the same body you were in the last birth?
Now that I've heard that, you've solved all my problems. Thank you so much for enlightening me. Any other points?
So, about the four asanas, the first asana, which is discussed in this chapter, it's like the donor of the most challenging asana where one has to balance the physical material, family life, there's a lot of turbulence, so it's very easy to renounce and attach.
Hopefully. That's why it's like that, so that we'll become detached. Any other points? Okay. Narad Muni replied, "My dear King, those who stay at home as householders must act to earn their livelihood. And instead of trying to enjoy the results of their work themselves, they should offer these results to Krishna, Vasudeva. How to satisfy Vasudeva in this life can be perfectly understood through the association of great devotees of the Lord."
The honor for
growth
of life should be dedication to the Supreme Person and His Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 6.1, it is said, Anasrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragme na na cha kriyata. One who is unattached to the source of his growth and who works as is obligated is in the renowned part of life and is a true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no harm. Whether one acts as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, he must act only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Person of Godhead, Vasudeva, Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. This should be the principle for everyone's life. Narada Muni has already described the principles of life for a brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi, and now he is describing how a grihastha should be. The basic principle is to satisfy the Supreme Person of Godhead.
Thank you. What are the points?
Basic points to satisfy Lord Krishna.
Anything else?
And in place to the fruits of work.
Yeah. So Prabhupada has explained that if a grihastha is acting like this with mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna, he is as good as a sannyasi. Because that is what sannyas life is. Sannyas means mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna. So a grihastha who is doing the same, Prabhupada said, he is as good as a sannyasi. Prabhupada would often glorify his grihastha disciples because when he first, in 1969, he sent three grihastha couples to England to preach Krishna consciousness, and they had great success. Well, we know about the history of ISKCON, how successful they were. Now Prabhupada would praise them. He'd say, "My sannyasi godbrothers were sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to England to preach. They came back with no results. And my grihastha disciples, they have gone and they've come back with great results." Not come back, but they produce great results. So Prabhupada said, if the grihastha is engaged with body, mind, and words in the service of Krishna, he's as good as a sannyasi. This is actual grihastha life. Grihastha life means you're practicing for future ashrams. That is the point. Any points? A grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons, and with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus one should gradually become detached from affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. Would have abundant rule. You might read the first paragraph.
Krishna consciousness movement has been established to give pragasas all over the world and opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita specifically. The process as described in many ways is one of the hearing and chanting. Sravanam, Swakada, Krishna, Punya, Sravana, Kirtana. Everyone, especially the Gregasar, who are Mudati, ignorant about the goal of life, should be given opportunities to hear about Krishna. Simply by hearing, by attending lectures in different centers of the Krishna consciousness movements, where topics of Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed, they will be purified of their sinful inclination for constant indulgence in illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, which have all become prominent in modern days. Thus they can be raised to the status of lights. Punya Sravana Kirtana. Simply by joining the Kirtana, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, and by hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, and one must be purified, especially if he also takes prasada. This is all going on in the Krishna consciousness movement.
Thank you. What are the points?
Hearing and chanting is the main process. So that we have to tell people they are ignorant about this goal of life. We have to tell them teaching.
By hearing about about the Lord and the incarnation, you develop attraction for him. And that attraction really makes you detached. And you want to go to him. So that's the English way.
Good.
One of the main focuses of the Brahmacharya stage is to understand the goal of life. So if someone moves from that stage to the Grihastha life, they will still become a mudati, ignorant about the goal of life. Because Prabhupada here says, especially the Grihasthas who are mudati, ignorant about the goal of life. Or is he referring to Grihasthas who haven't had an opportunity to go to the Grihastha?
Mudati means one who's a Grihamedi. That's what it means. A grihastha is not a mudati. He is enlightened. Someone who doesn't understand Krishna consciousness, and he is unenlightened. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. When you say everyone, especially the grihastha, who are mudati, ignorant about the world of life, should be given opportunity.
Okay, so then if you take it like that, it means the grihasthas are more under the modes of material nature. Yeah. We're conditioned. That's why we're in the grihastha ashram, because we're conditioned. So then we need to hear. So, it's very important, as this verse, the Bhagavatam is saying, the grihasthas have to regularly hear about Krishna. They have to regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. That is the process. Otherwise, the grihastha has just remained in ignorance. So they have to regularly hear. So that is the point. The point is that we go through the Brahmachari ashram. If we go through the Brahmachari ashram, that trains us to be solid devotees in the grihastha ashram. If we did not have the opportunity to go through the Brahmachari Ashram before Grihastha life, most of us join just as Grihasthas, then the purpose of this course and the purpose of ISKCON is meant to give us training so that we will catch up for the lost time, and we will become trained and qualified as Grihasthas so that we can perfect our life. Otherwise, if we don't have training, we can't progress. So therefore, a Grihastha has to be very strict in their sadhana. If a Grihastha does not have strict sadhana, he cannot progress. He remains materialistic in consciousness. And you see, the Grihastha devotees who neglect their sadhana, they just remain materialistic in consciousness. The Grihastha devotees who have strong sadhana and are regularly hearing and chanting about Krishna and attending classes, then they become detached. You see, there's a big difference in the Grihastha consciousness. Some Grihasthas are very detached, very renounced, and very devotional. Other Grihasthas are quite attached, they're quite materialistic. What is the difference? One has Vasudev Kata Ruchi. One is hearing and developing taste for hearing the Shastra. So the Grihastha must hear the Shastra regularly. Otherwise he just remains attached to this material world. If you're in the Grihastha Ashram, that means you are attached to the material world. That means you're recognizing your disease, right? And gradually, by following the process properly, you overcome the disease of material attachment. Krid rog, or lust within the heart, is gradually purified. So, any points?
So you must hear and then
chant
and then eat prasadam.
Are you taking prasad?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm just checking.
I was just in my last trip to USA. 3 days I spent in Las Vegas. And I was just wondering how Prabhupada could give the message of Krishna to you people in USA. Americans, they are just sending education all over. Boys, girls, everywhere. Whole night they are dancing and reading. And in the morning they are falling on the floor. Two girls going, one falling on the floor, one is sitting down, taking them to the room. So, the great success which Prabhupada has showed by his strong preaching.
Any other points? Okay, so we'll read the third paragraph. Okay, so Chaitanya Prabhu, can you read that number three?
The human form of life is meant for liberation, but unfortunately, due to the influence of Kaliyuga, every day the Grihasthas are working hard like cattle. Early in the morning, they rise and travel even the 100 miles away to earn bread. Especially in the Western countries, I have seen that people awaken at 5 o'clock to go to offices and factories to earn their livelihood. People in Calcutta and Bombay also do this every day. They work very hard in the office or factory, and again they spend 3 or 4 hours in transportation returning home. Then they retire at 10 o'clock and again rise early in the morning to go to their offices and factories. This kind of hard labor is described in the Shastra as the life of peach and stool eaters. Nayam Devo Deha Bhajam Bhagavad Kish Kastam Kaman Maharade Vidhujamala. Of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even to dogs or even for dogs and hogs, that is true. One must find some time for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is Vedic culture. One should work 8 hours at the most to earn his livelihood, and either in the afternoon or in the evening, a householder should associate with devotees to hear about the incarnation of Krishna and his activities, and thus be gradually liberated from the touches of mind. However, instead of finding time to hear about Krishna, the householders, after working hard in offices and factories, find time to go to a restaurant or a club, where instead of hearing about Krishna and his activities, they are very much pleased to hear about the political activities of demons and non-devotees, and to enjoy sex, wine, boon, and meat, and in this way waste their time. This is not grihastha life, but demonic life. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, with its centers all over the world, gives such fallen and condemned persons an opportunity to hear about Krishna.
So, any points here?
I found in Las Vegas they are opening a center for Krishna consciousness. They bought the land, we saw, I visited the center, they are teaching, in the restaurant, and now they are going to construct the new. And they always saw me the one with your name.
Any other points? So, grihastha life means one has to create a balance between one's material situation and spiritual situation. And it's becoming more and more difficult in Kali Yuga for grihasthas to be balanced, because society has become so imbalanced. Incredible. Very difficult for the grihasthas just to maintain their sadhana these days. And forced to go to work early, get back late, and then you're supposed to chant 16 rounds in between, follow the regulative principles, read Prabhupada's books, offer your prasadam, worship your deities. Very difficult now. So somehow or other, grihasthas have to strike a balance as much as they can and protect their spiritual life. And as we've been discussing in the last month or so, the grihasthas need to develop businesses amongst themselves that they can work together, employ themselves together, and not have to work so hard like asses as we have to in the modern world, which is totally inconducive to spiritual life. So if you do have to work, somehow try to work out a system where you do as little as possible for your company and take as much money from them as possible. If you can work out a system where you have to work, you can just work 1 hour a day and take a lot of money. That's the best. Or better than that is to all the grihasthas work together, somehow have businesses where they work reasonable hours and simultaneously they can practice Krishna consciousness.
Very hard if you that kind of business, a lot of money. In another 20 years ago, in the city, there's a lot of opportunity. You can buy things for $1, sell for $15. Now you have to buy for $1, you have to buy for $25. The competition is so hot. When I see the 10 people, they are making $10. Even the people working in IT, they're making so much, but they make only $20. So they're making them work from morning to evening, and they give the laptop at home, they can do work from home as well, and Saturday, Sunday as well. And these people have done the education, 16, 17 years, and they are just a laborer. There's so much competition in here, in the business, it's very hard. And they don't work as much. You can earn more. No, you have more work, you have less money. This is the, I'm finding it difficult. When I came to Australia, in there, you can earn money, any amount of money you earn, there's so much money.
We have to be smart. Money's still there, but we have to work out how to get it. That's true. Jayashree
Mataji was saying that she about this situation about how he was free up one time and he became some kind of freelancer where he would work for 6 months and earn enough money, and the next 6 months he would just go to the dump and do services and come back another 6 months before. If you've got a skill like you're an architect or you're an accountant or you're a designer, any of those kind of skills, if there are devotees in that mission, immediately use that as an opportunity to make good money. Once you don't, you have to figure it out.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more difficult for greenhouses these days. Okay. While working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain the body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in a human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. So, Sharadarata, would you like to read these?
The picture of ideal family life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy about the goal of life, Ramananda Roy described it in different ways, according to the recommendations of the religious scriptures. And finally, Sri Ramananda Roy explained that one may stay in his own position, whether as a Brahman, a Shudra, a Sannyasi, or whatever. But one must try to inquire about life's goal. Atho Brahma Jigyasa. Atho Brahma Jigyasa. This is the proper utilization of the human form of life. When one misuses the gift of the human form by unnecessarily indulging in the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and does not try to get out of the clutches of Maya, which subjects one to repeated birth, death, old age and disease, one is again punished by being forced to descend to the lower species and undergo evolution according to the laws of nature. Prakate kriyamanani gune karmani sarvata. Being completely under the grip of material nature, the living entity must evolve again from the lower species to the higher species until he at last returns to human life and gets the chance to be freed from the material pressure. A wise man, however, learns from the Shastra and Guru that we living entities are all eternal, but are put into troublesome conditions because of associating with different modes under the laws of material nature. He therefore concludes that in the human form of life, he should not endeavor for unnecessary necessities, but should live in a very simple life, thus maintaining body and soul together. Certainly one requires some means of livelihood, and according to one's varna and ashram, this means of livelihood is prescribed in the Shastra. One should be satisfied with this. Therefore, instead of hankering for more and more money, a sincere devotee of the Lord tries to invent some ways to earn his livelihood. And when he does so, Krishna helps him. Earning one's livelihood, therefore, is not a problem. The real problem is how to get free from the bondage of birth, death, and old age. Attaining this freedom and not inventing unnecessary necessities is the basic principle of Vedic civilization. One should be satisfied with whatever means of life comes automatically. The modern materialistic civilization is just the opposite of the ideal civilization. Every day, the so-called leaders of modern society invent something contributing to a cumbersome way of life that implicates people more and more in the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease.
Any interest in this?
Answer to Brahma Jigyasa. We must inquire what is our role of life and we should do something about it.
I think we should just pray and depend on the Lord for our daily necessities. And He will provide. He's so kind.
So far, so good.
Strong faith is in prayer.
If one is concerned about the goal of life, which is a higher thinking, one has to have a very simple way of thinking.
Yes.
As Prabhupada writes in the Purport, indulging oneself in unnecessary things, it is complicated. Spiritual life is destructive. Simple living and high thinking go hand in hand.
I think one of the most important things we need to have balance is goal. So we work hard in material work or we call material goals. But unless you have spiritual goals, you can't have that balance. So having Atta-Gurhastha, attaining degrees like Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, all these are very, very big. Because if you were to manage your material life in such a way that means you would have free time, then the question is what you do with this free time. Is it just idle gossip? Is it just... So I think that time should be utilized for getting these degrees. Because that will take you a good 10-15 more years. And I think that will get you to the Vanaprastha state where you are now equipped, not only physically, but you are also equipped to spiritual knowledge. If you don't have that, then you will always keep trying to fill your free time with more material activity.
Good.
My question is,
yep.
How to teach the children all these things so hard? Because they are prohibited for society and make them understand.
You need to use a stick.
Hmm?
Use a stick.
Stick?
Yeah.
All the child is about 30 years old.
Yeah. Just get a big stick.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Big piece of bamboo or something like that. So, the many examples are given here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they wanted to leave their government post. Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to leave his position in his very rich family. And Ramananda Roy, which Prabhupada quotes, was also a very exalted government position. So when Rupa and Sanatan, when they wanted to leave their position, then Lord Chaitanya said, no, no, you just do what you're doing. But you do it perfectly. So in the material world, devotees have to be materially responsible. So we do everything that we would, that anyone else would do. If they look at ourselves and they look at another married person in the outside world, they think, well, we're just the same as them. We work hard, we make money, right? And we have a comfortable situation. But internally, the devotee is very different. What Chaitanya said to Rupa and Sanatan, don't leave your position, but in your mind, always think of Krishna. And he said, just like, he gave the example to them, he said, just like when someone is having an affair. So the wife has a lover, so she is doing all the housework very nicely, even more nicely, so the husband will not detect that something is going wrong. But internally, she is always thinking of the paramour, of the lover. So, Lord Chaitanya said to Rupa and Sanatana, you just do all of your regular duties very nicely, but internally always think of Krishna. So this is the position of a Grihastha. Externally, we do everything that all the other Grihasthas do, all the other material people do, married people do. But internally, we are thinking of Krishna. We don't take it seriously. In other words, in our hearts, we're aspiring for something much higher. The people out there, they actually think this is the goal of life, just to be materially successful. But devotees, we do everything the same as them. But internally, we're not absorbed like that. So Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das Goswami, you just do this and Krishna will deliver you. In due course of time, when Krishna is ready, he will extricate you or take you out of your material situation and give you the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was just very patient, kept doing his household affairs. But in due course of time, he was released by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and he received the lotus feet of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So we should also do our work very patiently. Sometimes we have to do Grihastha life for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Patiently, patiently, patiently. But then Krishna will deliver us in due course of time. And then when the responsibilities are finished, then we have freedom and then we can fully dedicate to Krishna. But in the heart, we are waiting for that time. Sometimes Krishna puts the Grihastha in a position that he cannot easily escape from. So just like sometimes life feels like it is like a slingshot. Now you know in India they have what do they call it, slingshot? You know what I'm talking? Same thing. You see the kids in India have it. At Radhakund, every year I go there, then one of the little kids, he fires a slingshot, he hits me in the back of the head every year. You walk past and he says, give a donation. I don't give him anything. Then when I get down, then he goes, hits me in the back of the head. And when I turn around and look at him, then he looks like Durga. Puts his tongue out and he goes, like that. Then he runs off, you know. Give it to me 2 years in a row. Same kid. So slingshot. So sometimes Grihastha life is like that. Krishna is just pulling back slowly, 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 slowly. And you think, when will he release me? When will he release me? When will he let me out of this situation? But he just keeps pulling it back, pulling it back, pulling it back. And then eventually then he says, okay, now go. You have freedom. So Grihastha life is like that. Sometimes we're feeling like it just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. It's so difficult. But then eventually Krishna will say, okay, now you have freedom. Now you can just serve me. Grihastha life is like that. It's a purificatory process. Any points? Yeah. Be very careful. In Nectar of Devotion it says associating with non-devotees is like being in a cage with tigers or in a pit full of snakes. Very dangerous. So.
They just, when you are building the faith, then they, when you hear them, they just dissuade you.
Yeah, so devotees should, Lord Chaitanya says, be very careful and give them our association. But do not take that. Any other ones?
You were giving the example of the slingshot, and I was listening to the and give an example there, it should be like a prisoner who marks on the wall the number of days that remain for him to leave that prison by striking out each day one after the other. So he says we should be in that same thinking a day at each day goes back. Remember we have that out of this book.
An intelligent man in human society should make his own program of activities very simple. If there are suggestions from his friends, children, parents, brothers, or anyone else, he should externally agree, saying, yes, that is all right. But internally, he should be determined not to create a cumbersome life in which the purpose of life will not be fulfilled. So one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is daksha. Daksha means he's expert. So you have to be expert dealing with your relatives, with your family, with your friends. Keep them all happy, but at the same time, do not compromise your principles. So you have to spend enough time with your family, enough time with your associates in the material world to keep everyone satisfied. But not that it compromises you becoming Krishna conscious. So a devotee has to be expert. Keep everyone happy. Which is not possible, but as much as you can. Bhagavatam says you have to say to your relatives, yes, that is alright. But in your mind you're thinking, this is completely stupid. But in, to them you say, yeah, that's okay. But you're just thinking, this is...
Some people are more direct. They are right, some of them are not right. Because they just say, okay, they keep doing what they keep doing. If you want to bring them back, Krishna, so you have to be direct. Sometimes the group must be direct with them. Okay, you tell the children, yourself, where you want to go to move you back? And so you say, yes. So evening time, they pull you back, then what do you do? You know, sometimes they go.
Devotee has to be expert.
But isn't it like dishonesty?
What's that?
Isn't it dishonesty to say yes to them?
The whole of India is dishonest.
But they are honest, isn't it?
But you can't escape it when you come from India. Everyone in India says, you know they don't mean it. So. The natural products created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be utilized to maintain the bodies and souls of all living entities. The necessities of life are of three types: those produced from the sky, from rainfall, from the earth, from the mines, the seas, or the fields, and from the atmosphere. That which is obtained suddenly and unexpectedly. So, the Bhagavatam is emphasizing simple living and high thinking. We should grow our own food. We should not be buying food from outside sources. We should be growing our own food. How is your garden going at your home? What is the vulnerable? Putting in the new crops. Yeah, summertime you can get the most produce. At the farm, like in summertime, we have 20 different varieties of vegetables and like that. Wintertime is less. But at the farm, the last at least 1 month, maybe 2 months, we didn't eat any vegetables from off the farm. Every day we had broccoli, silver beet, carrots, pumpkins, which were left from the summertime, even some potatoes, which were left from the summertime. Every day we just had carrot, pumpkin, broccoli, like that. Perfectly satisfying. So nice. And so much lettuce, so much salad was there. So the devotee should live from the land. And something our movement has not done yet. But we have to live from the land, naturally. And then that, Prabhupada said, that is real opulence. That's real opulence. Not living in the city and eating inorganic food. Real opulence is living in the country and eating organic food. That's real opulence, actually.
What do you get from that message?
I'm not sure what that means, it doesn't say. Unless the Sanskrit says, without extra endeavor. Yeah, just, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur doesn't explain it either, so I'm not sure what that means. Anything?
Is there any way we can subscribe to the temple produce? We can from the farm.
From the farm? We need more manpower. We've already thought about it, but we need more manpower. If we have more devotees, we could grow more and then we could bring it to the temple and sell it to grihastas. But we don't have the... That's not...
The land is there?
Yeah, land is there. But manpower is not there. No, it's not that. I mean, then the first couple of years Manigriva got there, he grew, you know, 2 or 3 acres of cauliflower and broccoli, but we spent all day just picking cauliflower and broccoli. It's not practical for the manpower we've got. Otherwise, we can't do anything else. So we need more people there so then we can...
People are not there, people are here.
Everyone's
here. Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it.
What do you think students from the university
are? Yeah, those kind of things we have to work on. We haven't got there yet, obviously. But for ourselves, on the farm, even like last week, Money Breeder brought 80 cauliflowers for Radha Balaba for the temple. So we grew a lot of cauliflower. We had too many for us, so then we brought them to the temple. But at least we're growing enough for ourselves, enough vegetables. Last few months we didn't buy any vegetables. Everything, enough for ourselves on the farm. Anyway, Bhagavatam is making this point. Real opulence is living naturally. That's actual opulence. Okay. One may claim proprietorship to as much wealth as required to maintain body and soul together. But one who desires proprietorship over more than that must be considered a thief, and he deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. So in the purport, Prabhupada emphasizes the religious principle for all grihasthas, which is dan. All grihasthas must give charity. You must give. Every week there should be a percentage which you are giving to the Krishna consciousness movement, like that. So everyone can choose their own percentage. Some will give 10%, some will give 20%, some will give 50%, like that. But everyone must be giving charity on a weekly basis. That's how a grihastha becomes purified. And Prabhupada says in the purport that if a grihastha has extra, then he should donate that to the Krishna consciousness movement. Following Rupa Goswami's principle as much as possible. 50% for the Krishna consciousness movement, 25% for maintenance, and 25% for emergency. As much as possible. It's very difficult in Kali Yuga. Unless you're very wealthy, you can give 50%. But at least some percentage should be there every week. Something. That's grihastha dharma. Otherwise, a grihastha does not become purified. You see, grihasthas, if they don't give charity, they become... they remain materially attached. They become hard-hearted.
In the
book, yeah.
In this one, it is considered a thief. So how they are punished?
It means if you use the money for sense gratification, then you get karma, you get reactions. If you use the money for Krishna consciousness, you become purified. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. So this is grihastha dharma. Grihastha dharma means you have to feed everyone in your neighborhood. That's actually grihastha life. Prabhupada says a grihastha, before he takes prasad, he has to go outside and stand in front of the house, and three times he has to say, prasadam, prasadam, prasadam. Does anyone want prasad? Prabhupada said that is grihastha life. And in that way no one in society becomes hungry. In India, that was the system. Right? Everyone would invite others for prasad. That was the system. So grihastha becomes purified by feeding others prasad. As much as possible, you have to distribute prasad. Not just to the human beings, but also to the animals, the insects. Everyone should take prasad. Okay, one more verse. Even if a householder, rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, even if one is a householder, rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development, or satisfaction of the senses. Even in householder life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available, with minimum endeavor. According to place and time, by the grace of the Lord, one should not engage oneself in ugra karma. soul that devotees have to be very careful about? Ugra karma. Ugra karma means horrible works. So as a grihastha, be very careful what your occupation is and what you do. Now, some of the spiritual masters in our movement, they will not initiate. For example, I know one devotee here in the temple. So he was working at Kohl's. He had a job. So the spiritual master said, I will not initiate you if you have anything to do with meat in the supermarket. That was his job. He's working at Kohl's, so he had to do whatever they asked. So then he said to his boss, he said, I can only work in the fruit and veg department. So then the boss agreed. He said, okay, just fruit and veg. So then that way he would not, and then the spiritual master initiated him. So we have to be very careful in whatever we do. It is not ugra karma, which is very difficult in Kali Yuga, because practically everything is ugra karma. Practically everything we do is connected to some ugra karma. So as much as possible, you have to minimize that. Just like many of the devotees, they're not drinking milk from the commercial dairies because the animals are being slaughtered, so they're practicing ahimsa. Right? But then, as many devotees have pointed out, then we have to take it practically to everything. Just like this jumper I'm wearing is made of wool. Right? So the sheep, they take the wool and then eventually they just kill the sheep. So then we can say, okay, now I'm not going to wear wool because I don't want to support that industry. Practically everything, with silk, like that, everything we do, practically there's some ugra karma involved in Kali Yuga. But as much as possible, devotees should not support ugra karma. I never wear leather. I'll never buy leather shoes or leather belts or leather products. So devotees should not. And you should be very careful. Your toothpaste, your soap, your deodorant, all these things. They should not be tested on animals or contain animal products. Sometimes devotees just buy any soap, but many of the soaps, they have animal products in them. So you have to be very careful of all of these things. The body shop, the one shop called the body shop, they don't test anything on animals. There's no animal products. So devotees have to be careful of these points.
Toothpaste may contain other animals.
Yeah, commercial.
You can do
It's also fair trade. Yeah, it's a very good product.
And it lasts 6 months. No, it's not expensive.
Dr. Bronner's.
I also from that's very hard for them, very good.
Tell them.
Yeah, and plus if I don't have, I use aloe vera. Aloe vera is all smart, but I never use it. And I don't like them.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Use natural products. Srila Prabhupada ki.